First, today, though, we discuss energy, solutions to the climate crisis. Last week, we played part one of an interview with Jessica Tovar. She's an organizer with the California Local Clean Energy Alliance. We discussed that many counties in California, pursuant to California law, they're taking over the electric power utilities, replacing the big corporate utilities. And in fact, those counties and cities are producing sun and wind energy and supplying it to people at much lower costs to ratepayers than the corporate monopolies. We should note that several other states, like California, have what's called community choice aggregation laws, but not Oregon, whose legislators and city councils are very highly influenced, one could say in the pocket of Pacific Power and PGE. In part two today of the Tovar interview, we discuss how California's corporate utilities are spending now hundreds of billions of dollars of customer money trying to regain their monopoly. So far, they've been defeated, however, by California's very militant and active clean energy movements. This story and many others on energy democracy is told in the book. It's titled Energy Democracy. Today it's a premium. We give it to you free as a premium for becoming a member or renewing membership in this week's KBOO Membership Drive. More on the book and KBOO later. First, here's Jessica Tovar on protecting California's community local energy system from the corporados who want to regain control and are spending millions to do it. Jessica Tovar, we've been talking about the immense benefits of community choice aggregation and community. That's the name of the program for all of California, and particularly the way Alameda County is implementing it and building out on the local level. The big utilities of California, what California Edison and PG&E, and maybe a few others, the tremendous operations with huge financing, big world corporations finance, I mean, the banks all over the world finance them, and they're an enormous capital asset. They're now going to run the distribution system and charge for it and make a little bit of money in comparison to what they used to make. How did they ever lose?
That's a good question. You know, with PG&E here in the East Bay Area, they're looking at different ways to actually tax us for starting community choice energy programs. An example of that is that they do charge an exit fee. So if you are starting a community choice energy program, PG&E is pretty much charging a fee for their loss. And us as ratepayers, we have to pay into that. Our programs, our community choice energy programs, have to pay an exit fee. And since they do still own the grid, they're also charging transmission access charges. And so these different types of fees that these investor-owned utilities charge, we actually have to fight as well. So Local Clean Energy Alliance, along with other groups in the state of California, have actually established a statewide entity to kind of be on guard when it comes to this kind of policy. I call it the CASE, joking around, but it's California Alliance for Community Energy, and so that's the statewide body. So yeah, that is an issue, and as you can imagine, PG&E was never happy with community choice energy. As a matter of fact, recent history shows that they have, through their union, fought community choice at the statewide level and have fought also at some degree in the local level. For us, it's been very important to galvanize, like I said, the various community stakeholders, including unions, to address this issue and really educate and support community choice energy. And one of the important things I think that we did is bring different unions together, including some of the unions that were not friendly traditionally to community choice energy, but actually have discussions with them about how this could be a huge jobs creator in the community. So that is one of the things that a lot of the unions see in addition to addressing the issues of climate change and environmental justice in the community.
The unions were really hostile, the IBEW workers within PG&E. They were afraid for their jobs, and they were very hostile. And they supported, along with, of course, PG&E, this what they did is they put a referendum, an initiative on the California ballot that would essentially have the impact of killing off what you're trying to do, of stopping community choice aggregation by making it far more expensive, as they're trying to do still in other ways. But it's still a big loss to them and a big loss to the people who finance them. They're going to take a bath in terms of gross profits and size at some level. In any event, the union spent like $30 million, which at that time was a lot of money for an initiative.
Right.
The people who were supporting community energy had less than $500,000. Tell us what happened in that struggle.
Sure. So what you're referring to is the California Assembly Bill 2145. And I forget what they called it, but yeah, it pretty much was an attack against community choice energy at the statewide level. And it was very much carried by IBEW 1245, which is the union that represents PG&E. So again, a huge fight. And this is what's really important to us, is really having huge alliances. We have an alliance at the local level called the East Bay Clean Power Alliance. We have a statewide alliance, the California Alliance for Community Energy. So really getting, again, a lot of the different stakeholders at the statewide level and organizing together to fight this huge attack on community choice energy. You have to understand there is a lot of other activists, advocates for community choice energy throughout the state of California who have been trying to get their local electeds to take on community choice. So working with these different advocates throughout the state, we were very fortunate to beat AB 2145 and actually preserve that policy to begin starting community choice energy programs in the different cities and counties that make up California. And that, again, local Clean Energy Alliance can't do it alone, so it's very important for us to band together with all the different environmental, climate justice, social justice groups, and even other unions who support community choice energy has been very, very instrumental in winning that fight.
Jessica Tovar, tell us about the efforts that were made by the Local Clean Energy Alliance and many others to bring the unions on board, particularly, of course, the IBEW, that was the union for PG&E workers.
Well, it definitely took years of organizing and building relationships with different community groups, specifically different unions. And one thing that's been really key is building relationships with a lot of other unions was very important. A lot of unions see the importance of fighting climate change, specifically after Hurricane Sandy that hit New York. A lot of unions came together to address these issues because it affects their union members, their communities, and it affects their jobs. If there's huge flooding and storms, people are out of work and people are out of a home. So Hurricane Sandy definitely brought together or really hit home for a lot of union folks. And here in the East Bay area, we worked with a lot of different groups, specifically the California Nurses Association, AFSCME, SEIU. And at the same time, a lot of these groups came together and started their own kind of climate and environmental justice caucus. So already doing that education with union members. So it was really exciting for people to be able to come together on an issue that can actually address solutions. So a lot of those unions really sat with us, including IBEW 1245 that represents PG&E, and that union peer pressure enabled us to get a unity platform that we fought for at the local level with the local supervisors to get that commitment for the local development and the community in the governance of the program. The unions were able to see, yeah, this is very beneficial to our membership, to our unions, and creating jobs. I mean, these electrical unions are going to be hiring and getting a lot of these project labor agreements out of this program. And so seeing that there's so much opportunity and benefit, they actually agreed to work with us to fight to get that commitment.
Is that true of all of the building trades, like the carpenters? There will be not only electricians, but the plumbers, the carpenters, the concrete people, all of those, the unions that represent them.
It actually was the entire Alameda Labor Council that signed off on this unity clause. So under that, Labor Council is the building trades, is the different electrician unions, is all the unions pretty much in Alameda County. So once we got that Labor Council to sign on, all those unions automatically are involved.
Well, you have a great Labor Council in Alameda County, don't you?
Well, I have That's to important. Say, it's every step along the way is a struggle. It didn't end right there. We're still working and trying to work together. So we're definitely at a phase now where we're trying to bring everybody back to the table so that we can have a more unified voice. And that doesn't happen without organizing.
And it seems to me it's a possibility that once community energy gets started and you have your local community choice aggregation agency and the various communities involved and the unions and others involved, and seeing solar panels sprouting up and other forms and people being involved in creating their own energy, neighborhoods, schools, churches, all sorts of people actually are now erecting solar panels in anticipation. Once that happens, could create a culture of energy conservation. If you use a lot less energy, you save a tremendous amount of money that would go into just building energy facilities, even if they're local. And energy conservation seems to me really important, as well as like support for electrified mass transit, electric automobiles, all of the building insulation and building standards. All of those things are part of at least dealing with climate change and reducing the greenhouse gas emissions. Do you see that happening in Alameda County? Is community choice aggregation and the progress you're making also leading to strengthening, let's say, the public transportation efforts and the electrification of transport efforts? There's all of these things going on. Building codes.
Yes, exactly. So pretty much within community choice energy, in addition to those clean energy jobs, there's opportunities for energy efficiency jobs, for example. And as you had mentioned earlier in terms of conservation, we would be definitely using a lot less energy or actually using cleaner energy locally. And one of the things we do want to see is an emphasis in demand reduction, or that's the fancy term for conservation, right? People actually addressing using less during peak hours. So there is an opportunity for that within a community choice program. And people are talking about the electrification of transportation. But one thing I like to remind folks is that until we can clean up our source of electricity, electrification won't address climate change, right? If we're getting energy from a dirty source or from a faraway source, or through clean energy credits that is actually greenwashed energy. So we really make it a point to educate people that we do need to clean up our electrical grid and really make it truly clean energy. And with that, we are talking a lot about the electrification of public transportation and transportation, right? There's a lot of electrical cars now on the market, and that's only going to grow over time. So if we can clean up our source of electricity and make it truly clean, then when you do plug in your car, your electric car, or run your trains by electricity, then you know it's actually truly clean, not just locally, but on a larger scale than that. So that is really important to us, and it certainly is a benefit of community choice energy.
Jessica Tovar, I just want to congratulate you. It must be really feeling great, the position you're in now. Sort of in some ways, it's a culmination of a lot of work by a lot of people and a lot of struggle and organizing over many years. Really, California definitely leads the world and is so far ahead of Oregon, our clean and green state, so highly promoted as clean and green, basically run by the investor-owned utilities, but not California. Look, these are wonderful times. Congratulations, but keep up the good work. You know, the devil's in the details, of course. So make sure the details are good. I know that you folks know that, and you have the power to make sure it happens. You have the community behind you, I think, I hope.
We're definitely fighting for clean power to the people. That's what we like to say.
Well, that's a good line. Thanks a lot for talking to us today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Right. So long.